Well, good morning, everybody. One of the things that I know that Gail was talking about here is how she spent years, wrestling down and struggling and battling and, trusting the Lord for the Lord to move through people and these kinds of things. And she spent years there, and it was a hard time for Gail in these fronts, wasn't it, Gail? She's shaking her head up here in the front seat. But one of the things that I am pleased to see and to know is that, look, man, Gail had made a choice to trust the Lord. And the Lord had yet shown up for her many times. The truth of the matter was the Lord was showing up for her through those struggles, through those battles. I mean, it was right there before her face. The Lord was showing up and having this struggle of, like, the Lord being in the people that was ministering unto her and trusting that she had a hard time with. And then she turned around and she would see, I'm going to tell on you here a little bit, Gail. And what she would see is she'll see the same words come out of this person's mouth, and then the same words coming out of this person's mouth. And then it wasn't that the Lord was moving through these people. No, it couldn't have been that. That absolutely escaped her. See, that wasn't a possibility. What it was a conspiracy. It was a conspiracy, man. I mean, all of it. I mean, they were talking amongst each other. They were getting notes, man. They were writing this stuff down. So when Gail would go and talk to these other people, they would say the same thing. Oh, man. Couldn't have been the Lord that was showing her that I put my spirit in that person. I put my spirit in that person. I put my spirit in that person to give her what she needed, and yet the battle that was before her was there in front of her face, the Lord showing up faithfully to her. But one of the things was is that she got it. And she says, yes, finally, she got it. She got it. And I don't care. And really, it doesn't matter if I care or not, really. But the Lord didn't care if it took her 10 years. He's just happy that she got it. Amen. Amen. She's happy. He's happy that she got it. You know, and he's a loving father. See, we being evil, we know how to give good gifts unto our own children, yet we have Father of lights. In him is light, and there's what? No darkness at all. And it's just like with us being evil, we yet know that, look, when our children are done with their attitude or whatever struggle it is, one, we're loving them through that attitude and that struggle. But when they break through, do we remember that attitude and struggle anymore? No, we just rejoice at the fact that they got over it. It is behind them now. They're not bound up to that attitude and in that struggle and these kinds of things anymore. So it's a praise the Lord. So praise the Lord. I just pulled up. All right, got distracted. All right, well, praise God. But one of the things that I know, me and Gail were talking quite a bit this morning, and we were, it was quite funny because we looked down, it's 9:52. I think I came over there a little bit before 9, had no idea, and an hour passed. But one of the things that we were also talking about, and I want you to turn to Matthew 11:28. And also I want to highlight one more point on that. Look, Gail now has a testimony of what the Lord has done and how the Lord has showed up mightily for her. And yet now whatever the struggle she had, yet she can has an opportunity yet minister to somebody else that might have the same struggle. And so that 10 years of headache that she has and these kinds of things, look, could be the benefit and minister yet to somebody else where it doesn't have to be 10 years for them. They can get it in a moment. Just like that. And so what does it do? It does its profits somebody else as well. And that's an awesome thing. Hello, Eric. It's awesome to see you. All right. back on subject here. But I want to come to Matthew 11, verse 28, and it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, that verse right there, to me, I see just so much in it, and it's an awesome verse. But the first thing that he says in there is what? Come unto me, come unto me. I mean, we'll just stop right there. Because I know that the things that what happens is we go to him. I know I was talking, me and Gail were talking a bit this morning, is that we go to him. And I remember talking to her, I was like, you know, I don't know of much where really Steve gives me a call and it's less like we have a meeting to meet with somebody else on to minister unto them or talk about certain things. But no, I go to Steve. And not that the Steve is the Lord. That's not what I'm saying. But I go to the light. Look, Steve's my discipler. I go to the light. Look, and I get shown because the Lord is awesome. And he gives me, through Steve, that which I need to go forward in. Or the thing that's hindering me. Or whatever struggle it is. I get that which I need to go forward. And it's a place where we yet go to him. See, I know that Gail at the times past on some of the struggle was her coming to that light. And look, let's face it. When you look in John, what does it say? It says, I'll just turn there for a second. You guys don't have to go there. Hopefully I can find it quick enough. But in John, it says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light." Now, I do have to say it and confess, man, when that light shines on my dark heart, man, it testifies against me, quite frankly. And so I don't, it's my flesh, let me put it that way. My flesh does not want to come to that light. It doesn't, by nature. It doesn't. But look, man, if I'm going to love the truth and want to walk in him and walk in his ways, look, I'm going to come to that light. I'm going to come to that light. And when the truth testifies against me in that, look, I can get shed of it, and I can walk yet in his ways. I can get rid of all that crap that's been holding me back or bounding me up. Because look, the Lord's here to set you at liberty, not in bondage, not in chains. He wants you free. I mean, how many of you, I was talking about our children for an example and how we yet being evil, but the Lord being good and the Father of lights and him no darkness at all. And we see our own kids in a struggle or in a mess and bound up by attitude. Do we like to see them there? No. Man, but when they get shed of that, they come to the light and they get shed of that and these kinds of things, man, we get excited. We love it. They're not bound up in that anymore. And yet, if we like that, man, the Lord wants to set us at liberty in those. He doesn't want us bound up in that. And we were talking a little bit, the sin that what so easily besets us, or that we can also call it what, unbelief? All right, that so easily besets us. Look, the Lord doesn't want us to be consumed by that. And you can see where the old man in the flesh, man, it is almost like a trying to bend your will. I mean, it is a fact where it wants to take over. It wants to destroy you. It does not want you to believe God, because what the carnal mind is what? Enmity against God. It doesn't want you to have that liberty. It wants to drag you down to the ground. It's cursed. It's going back there. Whether we like it or not, that's where it's going. And it will always be at enmity against God. So that, in that case, man, I mean, look, it wants to bend your will. But the Lord is what? A gentleman. The one thing that the Lord respects above all things, more than any man in this world, is your own free will. He's not going to make you do anything. He wants to set you free. He wants you free from that bondage of that carnal mind. He wants you free from the bondage of this flesh. That's why he had died on the cross for us. That's why he paid the ultimate price, so that we can have yet that freedom. So, look, it's us. We go to him. We go to him. And let's face it, man, it's not like, man, when we was introduced to the Lord, it was anything of our own merit or anything we did. No, man, somebody was sent to tell us the gospel. Somebody was sent to tell us that Christ died for you. He paid the price for you. He loved you so much, he became sin for you to take it away. So it's in that place, yet we knowing this, let's go to him. Because in him is light and there is no darkness at all. So we go to who? Him. And have we not experienced every time we go to him, we come to him, we seek out the truth, do we not get set free? Do we not have a testimony of the Lord and how awesome he is and how he turned that screwed up, messed up situation? He flipped that upside down situation and he flipped it right side up. I'm telling you, my whole life is a testimony of that. My whole life is a testimony of that. I mean, just the fact that Hope and I are married and have children, and that is just a miracle in itself. That I'm alive. Praise God, as Gail says, that you're even alive. Absolutely. And Gail was talking about the long suffering, and I know that what was going on was people were praying for me, and they were looking at what the Lord was able to do and not what I was able to do. Because what I was able to do, I proved that to be very messed up, and I could do much of nothing. Doesn't the scripture say in John 15, without me you can do what? Nothing. Okay. Well, praise God. Now, see, here's the relief that we have. Because, look, if I can do nothing, and if I'm looking at myself to be able to do anything, man, then that's based on what I can do, right? Well, you know what? I can't move forward in that. I can't. I'm sorry. Just ain't going to happen. In fact, could try, but I know it's going to be to doom and failure and destruction and these kinds of things. But the one thing that I can yet rest in is what he is able to do. Now, what he is able to do, as we read in Ephesians, is what? Abundantly above we can ask or think. Abundantly above we can ask or think. And see, that's a rest that I can rest on. What is that verse? I need to turn back to it because I flipped it. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now I have to say, in this moment, in this time, I mean, when I can sit there and rest in what the Lord is able to do, then praise God. That's something that I can rest in. I mean, to me, it's like, whoo, what a relief. What a relief. I mean, that's something I can rest in. Because he is well able. He is well able. But I know it's a part on my part for me to make a choice to come unto him. And to come to that light. I know it's on my part to make a choice to believe him for it. It's really what it comes down to. Believing him. Believe in the gospel. That's what it comes down to. And look, man, when it comes to the place where I can believe that it's all about what he can do, not what I am able to do, then look, now I can believe that I can do what? All things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can do all things in Christ Jesus who strengthens me. All things. Do I need to highlight that word one more time? All. All. Because he's well able. He has the ability. He has the strength. He has the will. He has the love. And he's right there pouring it out to who? Us, if we will receive it, if we will have it, if we'll believe him for it. It's right there for us. Right there for us. But it's not at a place where you just sit back and you don't get it, you don't grab it, you don't receive it. It's not like you sit back and you just wait. I hope this comes. I hope this comes. We were watching Sergeant York last night, and it was a good movie. And the thing was, the Reverend was going up to Alvin York, and he was going, talking about to him and trying to minister unto him. And he goes, look, man, the devil's got you. You know, the devil wants to take you down, Alvin. And I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact words. The devil wants to take you down, Alvin. And Alvin, he goes, well, I've prayed to him, black in the face. And the Reverend turns around and says, it's not just about praying, it's believing. He said, it's believing. And yet, when you can grab the hold of that, man, it's one thing to do this. Look, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. The thing is, man, we pray. You know what we do when we pray? We lift these things up to the Lord. We come to the light. We get the direction. And we can have all the things laid out before us in a new way. But look, the thing is, then when you go do that, you go and you do it believing God that he is well able. That he is well able. And see, that's where you step out and you, it's like taking that leap of faith where you actually trust them. It's like Peter stepping out on that boat and hitting that water and standing on it. Because you can say you believe God until you're blue in the face. You can say all these things, but do you? Well, you're going to know you do because you're going to believe God. You're going to walk on that water. You're going to step out the boat, aren't you? That's where you really show if you believe him or not. Just as Abraham, when he offered up Isaac, knowing that it was through Isaac the promise was made. It was through Isaac, and that God would have to raise him from the dead. Would have to raise him from the dead because he believed God in his promise. He believed him. He believed him. And look, man, if you don't even have the will, I mean, look, it says that he what even gives us the will to do that of his good pleasure. He even gives us the will. And you can even come to him. You can come to him with any of these things. Lord, I don't have the will. Lord, please give it to me. Because what is it that we have to offer? Nothing except Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he's able to do. Abel offered up that good sacrifice. Cain didn't offer that which was not acceptable. How many times we offer up our flesh? It's not acceptable. It's cursed. It's going to the ground. That's what Cain did. Abel offered up that thing which the Lord told him to offer up. And that was acceptable. Just like what we have to offer was Jesus and what he has done. And he covers us. And when we're in him, when the God the Father looks down upon us, what does he see? When we're covered by Jesus and we're in Christ Jesus, he sees his Son in whom he is well pleased. And that gift is to anybody. It doesn't now matter how pretty you are. It doesn't matter how ugly you are. It doesn't matter how capable you are or incapable you are. None of those things matter. God is not a respecter of persons. None of those things matter. What matters is, are you covered by the blood of the Lamb? That's what matters. That's the only thing that matters. Remember the angel of death with the children of Israel when they came over the when it came over the land of Egypt? Did it matter how good or bad those people were? No. What was it looking for? It was looking for the blood on the doorposts and lintels. That's all it was. And when the angel saw the blood, the angel of death saw the blood, it passed right over it. That's the same with this. And all it takes is a choice to believe him. To believe him for it. Praise God. What a relief. Thank you, Jesus. I'm excited. That heavy laden comes rolling down. That burden comes rolling away. I remember when the gospel being preached to me, not once, just twice, but reiterating the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And I remember time and time again the joy and the heavy laden that was just rolled down off of me at the time of accepting that. And I tell you, I went through many drug counselors and psychiatrists and all these things. Did that wash away my sin and took away that guilt and washed me clean and made me whiter than snow? No, it was not. It was the blood of the Lamb. So what do we have to take credit for? Nothing. We just point to Jesus. And it's that we can save anybody? No. Who can? Jesus can. And he will. And the thing that gets exalted is Jesus. And praise be to God, because that's what we need, and that's what the people out there that don't know him need. And that's what we can preach among the housetops and let that light shine. It's just thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. And that's something we can trust in. See, Gail had a hard time trusting in some of these things and some of the and how the Lord can work and how faithful he is. She had a hard time. But I can imagine you putting your faith and trust in so many other things outside the Lord. Does it not yet always fail? It always fails. It always lets us down. It always does. But the Lord will not. Not once has the Lord let me down. I maybe thought that something should have gone a certain way. You know, it should have gone according to what my thought process was and the plan where I had to be thing. You know, how I thought it should go down. But the Lord has always brought me through the other side in a way that he has been manifested, where he has been glorified abundantly above all that I can ask or think. And all I can say is praise the Lord. He can save you. I remember George was an old boss of mine at the cabinet shop. And he was turning around and telling me about how a guy that used to work for us, he ended up quitting and these kinds of things. And he got a girl pregnant. It was like ditto of my situation. Got a girl pregnant. And he goes, man, he is such an idiot. This guy is such an idiot, man. He went and got a girl pregnant and he has no job. And the guy he's working for is not paying him. He is just a dummy. And I'm thinking to myself, I remember getting Hope pregnant and I had no job. And I've been there. I was there just a year ago. Yep. But go ahead, George, what are you saying about this thing? And I said, George, it's no difference in my situation. Yeah, but Philip, you had a plan. George, do you not remember when I was telling you that Hope was pregnant and then you asked me to go ahead and pick up that piece of wood and beat you over the head with it? That's what he asked me to do when he found out that Hope was pregnant. He thought, this is a terrible situation. And it was, at that time, a messed up situation. And I said, George, the only difference, I didn't have a plan at all. I had no idea what I was going to do. I had none. And what happened was, I said, look, man, trust the Lord. And I tell you, I didn't even do that. I kept worrying about that. Am I trusting the Lord? They say, trust the Lord. Am I, Lord, I want to trust you. I want to trust you, Lord. Am I trusting the Lord? But at every single step, the Lord yet showed up faithful. Boom, boom, boom. And he put me in the place right beside my stepfather, right here on this property, which I was looking out the rent. Then this happened, and it was abundantly above that I can ask or think at every time. And he yet showed himself to be faithful and loving. And he didn't hold that against me. When I turned unto him, he wasn't like, oh, you've committed fornication. You're going down the hell and the situation in your life is going down. No, that's not our God. That's not our God. No, he turned that situation upside down situation right side up, and he was yet glorified. And where do I have the boast but say, hey, turn to the Lord, folks. And what I would have to say to that guy that was in the same situation is, turn to the Lord. Because that was the only answer I had. That's the only answer I needed. That's the only answer I needed. You know, it's amazing. What's that, Gil? And it's the answer. Thank you, Gil. See here, folks, man, when we start looking upon ourselves and what we can do, or for even our own justification or any of these things, man, we're looking solely in the wrong place. Absolutely the wrong place. But when you're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ as for the only justification you got, well, that's the perfect justification. That's the only justification that's going to stand, because he was the perfect sacrifice. And he walked in that obedience and fulfilled that. And he took that away and he covered me with his blood. And I praise God for it. And see, folks, that's all we need. And it doesn't matter what situation we're in, what kind of, how messed up. How doesn't it say in the psalm, he's what? Beautiful for situation? He's beautiful for situation. And he's shown that time and time and time yet again. Beautiful for situation. And it's amazing what he can do. So let's put our eyes upon him. Let's trust him. Let's go to him. Even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. Because he will take that hurt and he will replace it with him. It's like a glass, man. The more of it, I need more of him. It's like a glass. We're like a glass. You put paper towels in it, you can only fill it with so much water. Take those paper towels out, the more of the water you can get in there. It's just like with us. Come to the light. Get shed of that nonsense. Let's get his faith in us. Let's get his love poured into us. Let's get more of him, which is our life. Which is our life. Our life is hid in Christ with him. Praise God. And that's an opportunity for anybody that will receive it and believe it. So let's go after it. Let's get it. Let's not sit back. We're not called to be pew warmers, folks. Let's go get it. Let's go get what he has, the fullness of that which he has for us. Each and every single one of us. Amen? I think I'm done for right now. May the Lord bless everybody.